Good afternoon, Labor, Industry, Veterans, Military Affairs, Finance, and Policy Committee will come to order. I would like to announce that this meeting will take place in accordance with House Rule 10.01. This meeting may be viewed on House Public Information TV, which is available on the House website. As is custom with this committee, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Mr. Petrie, please take the roll.
Chair Eklund.
Present.
Chair Eklund, present. Representative Zhang.
Present.
Representative Zhang, present. Representative Detmer.
Present.
Representative Detmer, present. Representative McDonald. Representative Berg.
Present.
Representative Berg, present. Representative Bliss.
Present.
Representative Bliss, present. Representative Edelson, excused. Representative Frederick.
Present.
Representative Frederick, present. Representative Greenman.
Present.
Representative Greenman, present. Representative Nelson.
Present.
Representative Nelson, present. Representative Poston.
Present.
Representative Poston, present. Representative Raleigh.
Raleigh, present.
Representative Raleigh, present. Representative Sundin.
Present.
Representative Sundin, present. And Mr. Chair, we do have a quorum.
Quorum is present. Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the March 16th, 2022 meeting. Representative Frederick, did you look at the minutes?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chair. And I moved the minutes from the previous meeting.
Representative Frederick moves minutes from March 16, 2022. Any questions, additions, or deletions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. The minutes are adopted. Members, we have four bills on the agenda today. All are components of the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs supplemental budget. The first bill is from Representative Sandstead, House File 4365. I move to lay House File 4365 order for inclusion in a future omnibus bill. Welcome, Representative Sandstead. Please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 4365 is a bill from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to provide service bonuses to post 9/11 veterans and Gold Star families who currently don't receive these bonuses. Historically, the Minnesota legislature has recognized veterans' service in major wars, including both World Wars, the Korean War, Vietnam War, and the Persian Gulf War. In each of the five major wars noted here, recognition has primarily been in the form of monetary bonuses to qualifying individuals. This legislation would invest $40 million in a variety of bonuses for our soldiers who fought for our nation in response to 9/11, specifically during actions between September 11, 2001 and August 30, 2021. More than 48,000 Minnesotans have served in the armed forces of the United States from September 2001 and running continuously until the conclusion of combat operations in the global war on terror at the end of August 21st, 2021. Based on Department of Defense reports, about 25,000, or just more than half, were deployed to the area of combat operations. Bonus amounts under this bill would be $600 for those who did not serve in Afghanistan or Iraq campaigns, $1,200 for those who served in Afghanistan or Iraq, and $2,000 for families of veterans serving in Afghanistan or Iraq who died as a result of their service. This bill also changes some technical definitions around eligibility for the bonuses. The application period will run from July 1st, 2022 to June 30th of 2024. Beyond these single payments, the service bonus program comes with another good reason. Seeking applications and delivering bonuses allows MDVA to develop a more comprehensive list of Minnesotans who have served, broadening outreach efforts to share information about benefits veterans can earn. We can never fully thank our veterans for their service to our country, but bonuses like these under this bill would certainly go a long way. It's time to use the service bonus program to recognize those from the most recent generation who wore the uniform of the United States of America. We know many veterans from this group are struggling in communities across our state. With a $9 billion surplus, we have a great opportunity here to recognize their service and in doing so, help them out financially. I would appreciate your support on this bill.
Thank you, Representative Salstead. We have Mr. Tim Angstrom, Director of Communications, American Legion, Department of Minnesota. Mr. Angstrom, please identify yourself for the record. Welcome back to the committee and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Eklund, Representative Sandsteed, Representative Detmer, other representatives of the committee. I am Tim Angstrom, Communications Director for the Minnesota American Legion. I'm a veteran of the Persian Gulf War, and I live in Bloomington. This measure has the modifications from what was originally proposed has the full support of the Minnesota American Legion. Past veterans of war eras have received bonuses. The Legion has some of its history rooted in trying to get bonuses for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coasties. You probably heard of the Bonus Army from back in 1932. That came after the Legion had tried to get bonuses for World War I veterans, and then it was denied. So we've got a long history of trying to stand by legislation like this. You probably know that some of the things that these young vets, I write about a lot of veterans for the Minnesota Legionnaire, and some of the things that these young veterans have been through is just astonishing. One of the incidents that was in the minds of Americans back, I think it was 2003, was the case of Jessica Lynch, and everyone got to know Shoshana Johnson and some of those other folks. They were at the back of the convoy. You know, their lead took a wrong turn, and they ended up in the wrong place in the city. You could be in the back. You can be a cook. You can be a transportation specialist, a maintenance mechanic, and you end up in the front line in this war. So, I mean, it's just not like a lot of the wars of the past. And so we owe it to them for their service, whether they were in the infantry or what they thought was going to be in the rear with the gear, and they ended up in the front line a lot of times. I don't really have much to say except this is good legislation, and I hope we can all support it.
Thank you, Mr. Angstrom. Please stick around if there's any member questions.
Yes, Chair.
Is there any other people, anybody else that wish to testify on this bill? I don't see any hands, so we'll go member questions. Representative Raleigh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifier or to the author of the bill, I was in the infantry. I did serve 8 years active duty. And I was also a Persian Gulf, First Gulf War era veteran. I was born in St. Paul, and there's a reason for the way that I'm asking this question. I was born in St. Paul, and my parents moved to a little town called Osceola. And while I was in Osceola, at 17 years old, I joined the Army. Went off to basic training, I entered the military through the MEP station in Minneapolis, and went to Fort Benning, Georgia, served my tour, got deployed for the Gulf War, came back, married a Forest Lake girl, moved to Minnesota, and lived here. So I got out of the military in 1992, it was 1992. Governor Ventura had a similar program for the Gulf War era veterans. I was denied because at the time that I joined the military, I was a Wisconsin resident. So born in St. Paul, joined in Minnesota, came back to Minnesota and lived, but I was not included in that bonus program because I was a Wisconsin resident. So my question to the author is, on line 2.31, so second page, line 31 of this bill, if I were a person that was born in, let's say, Virginia, joined the military in Virginia, served my tour, let's say I did 20 years, and then I moved to Minnesota 90 days before the application period for this bonus program, ended, so because there's a time certain where you have to apply. If I've spent my entire life and career in a different state, but I move here within the time period, because it says that I must have lived in Minnesota for at least 30 days at the time of application, not the time of service, but at the time of application. Would anybody that moves to Minnesota, having been a member of the service that falls underneath all of the rest of this bill, would they be eligible for each of these bonus areas, the bonus amounts? And I know there's three bonus amounts. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Raleigh. I'll have Representative Sandstead take a stab at that, but there's also people from the agency that can answer that question. Mm-hmm. Representative Sandstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first of all, Representative Raleigh, thank you for your service. Under the language of this bill, it appears that, yes, you would qualify if, even though you had lived primarily in a different state, if you had the language is specific to living in Minnesota for at least 30 days at the time of the application. I think the intention of this bill is that if you're in Minnesota, you're staying, you're not just coming in for 30 days to collect a bonus and then leaving. But Mr. Chair, I would gladly turn it over to somebody else who wants to take a stab at that.
And I see Commissioner, thank you, Representative Sanson. I see Commissioner Herkey's online. Commissioner Herkey, welcome back to the committee.
Chair Eklund, I am Commissioner Larry Herkey. I'm the Commissioner of Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And as the bill author had indicated, it is correct. Just a requirement at the time of application that you've been in Minnesota for 30 days, I think. We take, you know, driver's license, utility bills, whatever you can use to prove that you actually have lived in Minnesota in order to do that. But the intent here was to change it from the Gulf War so that we didn't have the issues like you had upon returning. We felt that we would like to keep people in Minnesota, and we'd like to recognize no matter where they started their duty to their country, we'd like to recognize that through this veterans bonus program. So you are correct. You would be eligible. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Raleigh.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that was exactly the reason for the clarification. I appreciate that is the intent of the author. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Representative Sandeep, for bringing this forward. I've had a constituent ask this question. If, the National Guard has a lot of members from Wisconsin, different states that come in and drill here, but they don't live here. And I'm looking at there's about 60,000 veterans and Gold Star families that would be eligible for this service bonus. What if you're living in Wisconsin but serving in a unit here in Minnesota and then deployed? Would that soldier be eligible for this bonus, Mr. Chair?
Representative Sandstead, I'll let you take a stab again, and then we'll go back to the agency.
Okay, I'm going to just ask for a little clarification. First, Representative Detmer, you had mentioned a couple of things. You were talking about National Guard members, mm-hmm. and then you had a question about living in one place and serving in another. So
right.
Tell me what your
Mr. Chair, this won't apply to me, but I had a constituent ask this question that lives in Wisconsin, was a member of the Minnesota National Guard, was deployed during this time frame, but not living in Minnesota. But there's several soldiers that are come across into the state of Minnesota because we have such a great National Guard, right, Commissioner? But they like serving in our units here. So does that soldier qualify for this bonus?
Representative Sandstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Detmer, on line 3.12 of the bill, you will see that this bill is exclusive of National Guard members, according to the term veteran or the definition of veteran already in statute. So I think ultimately the answer would be no, this would not apply to your constituent or people in a similar situation. And even if that piece is incorrect, if you have a member living in a different state, even though he may work here, if he's not a resident of Minnesota, I do not see that he would be eligible, he or she would be eligible for this bonus. And Mr. Chair, again, I'd be happy to be corrected if I'm wrong on that one.
Commissioner Herkey or anybody from the agency willing to comment on that one?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is Commissioner Herkey again. In response to that, National Guard members that would be eligible if they meet the requirement of service and they've received a service medal during that time. So the National Guard, of course, is in. Your question, I think, is where the home of residence is for the individual at the time of application. And for that question, I'd actually like to go to Deputy Commissioner Brad Lindsay, who's on here and helped me put this together.
Yeah.
He can probably best answer that question, yeah. Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Lindsay, welcome back to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Brad Lindsay, I'm the Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. So as the Commissioner said, yes, the National Guard and the Reserve Forces are definitely eligible if they earned the appropriate campaign medals and served active duty other than for training purposes. But there is the residency requirement, as Representative Sandstead had stated. One of the purposes is for us, as in previous wars, to gather a database of who these veterans are, because quite plainly, we don't know. We don't get all of that information from the Department of Defense or the VA. So what we're interested in as an agency are Minnesota veterans and who they are, so that we're reaching out appropriately, as the author said, with outreach and assisting them and making them aware of what else is available through our agency and through the federal VA in Minnesota.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for that explanation. That's kind of what I figured, but I think a lot of this will come out when the veterans make the application, and the agency would take a look at the application and then get back to the soldier and or their family in regards to the bonuses. So, but this is a good thing, and I support it. Thank you.
Representative Rowley, you had your hand up. Are you okay there, or can we move on?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, the only thing I was going to say is in the answer from the author, line 3.12 is what she was referencing. If you go to 3.14, the end of the sentence is important. It says, for the sole purpose of training. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Rowley. Any other member questions? Representative Sandstead, final comments for the committee.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative Rowley, thank you for that clarification. I do see that this is specifically to the words training that it would be excluded. I just want to say thank you to all of our servicemen and women. I think that this is a wonderful opportunity to recognize their efforts and their service to our country. I think it's a good bill, and I sure would appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Sandstead. I renew my motion that House File 4365 be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill. Next up, we have House File 4337 from Representative Berg. Representative Berg, please move and introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House File 4337 be before the committee. This bill appropriates $1,100,000 to the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs to support the Homes for Veterans program, provide incentives for landlords to help homeless veterans, and remove barriers to permanent housing for homeless veterans. Most of you on this committee know how passionate I am about our veterans and especially finding solutions to pervasive homelessness for our veterans. Approximately 70% of veterans currently experiencing homelessness earn incomes of $1,500 or less per month, and more than 30% of veterans currently experiencing homelessness have at least one felony. For these veterans, access to affordable housing with flexible rental screening criteria can be very difficult. In partnership with the Minnesota Interagency Council on Homelessness, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs needs to be creative with the current stock of housing by using incentives to expand the rental screening criteria, dedicate staff support veterans as they move into permanent housing, and ensure veterans have the necessary supports to maintain their housing. House File 4337 increases the MDVA Homes for Veterans funding to incentivize the removal of barriers to permanent housing, including offering additional incentives for landlords who are willing to rent to veterans experiencing homelessness. Over the last two fiscal years, the Homes for Veterans program has assisted more than 120 veterans with higher housing barriers securing housing through the rental market, with approximately 96% of those veterans renewing their lease. In all placements, landlords adjust their rental criteria to accept the rental application. While reviewing the homeless veterans registry data, this program has not been able to assist veterans with the highest barrier scores. Increasing the incentives in three areas could increase rental flexibility for veterans with highest barrier scores. Landlord incentive: any property manager willing to rent to a veteran experiencing homelessness can be eligible for incentive payments. Vacancy relief: property managers strive to fill open rental units in a timely and efficient manner. The rental application process with veterans sometimes requires a little more time. To offset this, property managers may be eligible for the vacancy relief fund payments to make them whole. Risk mitigation: designed to cover property loss at any apartment after a veteran moves out of a rental property, this fund can cover up to $2,000 beyond the security deposit, acting as an insurance policy if something does happen during the veteran's first year lease. This program will add additional staffing for tenancy support services and landlord engagement. 5 contracted FTE through third-party nonprofit RFP. And this will be available to all veterans and former service members, regardless of discharge. And I think I have some testifiers today, Chair Eklund.
Oh, thank you, Representative Berg. First off, I understand there's an amendment to this bill. Whoever is offering that amendment, please move it, and explain your amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. I have amendment number 4, the A1 amendment. I'd like to move that.
Okay. Representative McDonald moves the A1 amendment. Please explain your amendment, Representative McDonald.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a simple amendment. I hope the bill author will accept this amendment. It basically changes the word landlord in the bill to housing provider. And the reason for that is I think the housing provider is a better nomenclature for your bill, Representative Berg, and it better describes what we're trying to accomplish. Landlord, although part of the ancient word, I would just say that it means what a landlord means is it's a ruler by hereditary right to whom service and obedience are due. And lord is an outdated term referring to the male head of a household. So it just makes sense that a housing provider, changing it, better describes the role as a provider for housing for people, and it's more of an inclusive term, and I'm sure that I would think that most people would agree. So therefore, I ask for your support of this change.
Comments, Representative Berg.
To be perfectly honest, I don't think the semantics in this really warrant this amendment. So I guess I will leave it up to the committee to vote, but I don't think it's necessary. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Berg. Representative Sundin.
Just listening to the previous testimony, we heard other descriptions of the
You're muted, Representative Sundin.
I think we heard other descriptions of people that are in charge of collecting rent, such as property managers, that type of thing. It doesn't matter what we call these people. A landlord's a traditional form of description, so I'm going to stick with that if it comes to a vote.
Representative Greenman. Thank you, Representative Sundin. Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if what the traditional nomenclature in Minnesota law is. Maybe we could ask nonpartisan staff or what we usually use. It's something we talk about a lot.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. Mr. Diebel, can you comment on what the normal place in, or what the normal term is in statute? Mr. Diebel, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. I'd have to look into that. I'm not familiar with that area of law. Typically deal with public safety and veterans issues, so I'm not familiar with the housing nomenclature, but I suspect landlord is a pretty commonly used phrase. But I can
thank you, Mr. Diebel. Is there anybody else from nonpartisan staff that here that could comment on that? I don't see anything. Representative Greenman, your hand is still up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm putting it down. I'll stick with what I think we use in the housing context until otherwise. So vote against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. I'll just make one comment, Representative McDonald. And I think I know where you're coming from on this, but I would be hesitant to accept a amendment that would change statute for all of housing. So I think there's better committees that could be handled in. Any other comments on the amendment?
Yes, closing comment.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, certainly this is not an amendment I would fall on the sword. I personally, akin to the landlord, I kind of like the term personally, but I think it's more acceptable in this day and age to be inclusive. And it's your bill, Representative Berg. It's not going to split hairs. I just personally think a housing provider is better. Maybe we think about this going forward. I think it's a better description going forward and a better use of the word. So vote how you want. I'm not going to call a roll call. I think it's in our best interest to change it from landlord. You know, we're not lords anymore. And some of these housings, they don't even own the land. They just own the housing. But it's your bill, whatever you want. Thought it was being helpful. That's my closing thoughts, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative McDonald. And I think there's probably a lot of places in the English language that we could clean up a lot of terms but we'd be here all day trying to do that. So to the amendment, all those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All opposed say no. No.
No.
No.
Amendment is not added. Any further questions to the bill itself, members? Representative Raleigh.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know we're hearing three bills today on veterans programs that specifically address the homeless. And specifically to the to this bill and to the other ones, I'm looking for advice from the chair. Would you like me to ask the questions after all three bills are heard? Because the question is related to the three bills in total. And I'm just looking for advice from the chair if it would be appropriate to ask now or wait till the third bill is heard on the veterans homelessness.
Representative Raleigh, if you don't mind, and Chair Zhang will be taking over on the other two bills because I'm carrying those. If you don't mind, if you want to ask them all in at one time, that might be better. They are going to be laid over, and as the committee members know, if we lay a bill over, there's possibly more work that needs to be done to it.
So. Okay, I appreciate the advice, Mr. Chair. So I went out to the Housing Assistance Council and then the Bureau of the Census Bureau. For 2015 to 2019 was the latest data that I can get. They're saying that right now there's 315, and this is an estimate from HUD. They're saying that there's 315 homeless veterans in Minnesota, and that's the best data that I could find so far. So to the bill's author or any of the other testifiers that are available, if we have a different number than 315, I would appreciate hearing that. But my question, Mr. Chair, is, last year, we appropriated about $6.3 million in the biennium. This time, we're looking at about $11.6 million. Hopefully I said 6.3 million, not billion. 6.3 million in the last biennium, 11.6 million in this biennium. It puts us at about $14 million for homeless veteran programs. If I divide that by 315 homeless veterans, we're looking at about $44,444 per year, or about $3,704 per month per homeless veteran. And, Mr. Chair, what I worry about is we've got several disparate programs that are going to try to address the issue of veterans' homelessness. We have 315, and the numbers that we're talking about, Mr. Chair, is we could basically afford to buy several houses per year or several complexes per year. And I'm wondering, Mr. Chair, to the author, when do we get to a point where it's not an issue of the money, it's an issue of maybe taking a look at the veterans' homelessness as a whole and holistically trying to solve this as opposed to individual appropriations. So, Mr. Chair, to the author, how much per month is enough? Because right now we're going to be looking at about $3,704 per month per homeless veteran. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Berg, and I see Commissioner Herkey also has his hand raised. So, Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Raleigh. I always appreciate how thoughtful you are and the questions that you ask, because I really do feel like that makes us, keeps us on our toes to make these things better. So I am going to pass that to Mr. Herkey.
Mr. Herkey.
Chair Eklund and committee, and specifically Representative Raleigh. Today, the number for us is, I believe, 258 is the number of veterans that are homeless. As I've indicated previously, that number is a point in time, as was the 315 that you were provided. What we need to remember as a society is that we have between 450 and 550 veterans that go through the process through our homeless registry each year. So if you were to take that 550 and add the 300 and or 258 on top of that, that would be a much better recognition of the true need for veterans housing per year. The challenge has been many of these programs is that what I'm demonstrating this year through the three items that were introduced is to try to get at those veterans that have been on the registry the longest and have the highest barriers to getting permanent housing going forward. These three items under these tenancy supports have proven in a pilot that they've been made a difference as it relates to these veterans, especially with the high barriers. And I believe it's the appropriate thing to get us to a point where we can actually consider us as functional zero as a state. And I can make sure that you know that this is an integrated plan. We actually have a plan for becoming functional zero for the state. It's called Every Veteran Deserves a Home, and I can share that again with the committee so they understand we do have a plan and that these elements will get us to our ultimate goal, which is to become the fourth state to declare functional zero. And these helps, and especially these tenancy supports, have demonstrated that they have worked. And I think by increasing a few of the areas here, I think we can make a difference and be able to find those additional housing, permanent housing solutions for these veterans that have the high barriers. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Raleigh. Thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the bill's author and everybody else on this committee, you know, I don't want my questions coming across in any way that I don't support the veterans or want to solve this issue with homelessness. What I'm asking for is, Mr. Chair, that we take a look at it exactly like Mr. Herkey said, is if we've got a program called Every Veteran Deserves a Home, I just worry that if 14 million isn't enough, is 20 million enough, is 400 million enough? You know, at what point do we cross the threshold of saying that there's got to be a different approach to this than what we're doing currently? Because we are hearing additional bills. We are trying to solve the same issue that we're trying to solve previously. And I'm not so naive as to think that, you know, we come into this committee and we can solve it in one session. I guess to the testifier, Mr. Herkey, Mr. Chair, or through the chair, I should say, is if Every Veteran Deserves a Home is the program, what else do you need from our committee or as far as bills are concerned that would fix this issue, that would get us to the functional zero that you were speaking about, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Herkey.
Mr. Chair, Representative Raleigh, I believe the three items that are being presented that are the veterans homelessness items, the specifically the tenancy supports, the help and assistance with the low barrier affordable housing, and the increased engagement are those final items. You've provided me the vouchers that I needed last year. That program is referred to as MVEST, and we're just now rolling that out and getting that going forward. That's provided the assistance for those people that have been difficult in the past to be able to support.
With these Commissioner, excuse me for a minute. Please mute yourself, members. I'm sorry, Commissioner. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. with these three additional items, I see this as the final items required. And like I said before, with the tenancy supports, we've done this as a pilot. It's demonstrated it's been positive at a lower level, just at $1,000 for the landlord incentives. It's just that we still have some of the folks. I think we talked about barrier scores for some of our veterans are very high. They have, as the bill author indicated, have had felonies, bad rental history, potentially fiscal issues in their lifetimes. And this is the first step for changing their lives, turning them around. And I've heard many, many stories of veterans that have been on our registry in the past, have been supported by either the federal VA and or the state of Minnesota, and have went on to be very productive members of society. It would be my intent to do that with all these veterans that we've helped and assisted, which is come closing now on about 3,000 veterans since 2014 that we've placed in safe, secure housing. A lot of great stories over the years of turning people's lives around. I do believe these folks put up their right hand and did a little bit more than most people in society to help their state and nation. And I would just ask your support in all three of these areas. I do want to say with the low barrier housing, which we haven't got to yet, I do see that as something that's sort of a one-time surge situation, and probably the requirement for that going forward will be less. So I see that going away. The other supports may be required for a period of time in order to stabilize the population at functional zero. With that, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Raleigh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it.
All right. Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And in the language I'm looking, is there going to be reporting a requirement where MDVA has to come back to the legislature and report the use of these funds? I think it's important, regardless of agency, that we also have a reporting mechanism in the legislation, that they come back to the legislature and report how these funds are used, because these are important funds that we feel it's important to support our veterans, as everybody feels that way. Certainly the commissioner does. But is there going to be a reporting mechanism? I know it's not in the language, but is that something we should consider? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for that question. I'll take that, Representative Detmer. As everything with the bill being laid over, if we need to make some fixes, we certainly can, and I will consult with the agency about whether we need to have reporting requirements on these bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Berg, this would be easy to put that in the language so that we as a legislature can see how these funds are used. Thank you.
Any other member questions? Representative Berg, you said something about test fires. I went right by them. So if they have brief testimony, we can take it. I think we have time, but I don't know who the test fires are.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure that I knew who they were. I didn't know if somebody signed up during the public testimony.
Okay, I don't see any hand raised, so we'll go to before I go to final comments from Representative Berg. Representative Raleigh, I appreciate your questions on this. 4 years ago, when I took over this committee, it was my intention. The two main things that I was going to work on were veteran suicide and veterans homelessness. And I think these bills that are coming forward today are the result of that initiative that we started 4 years ago. Representative Berg, final comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Raleigh and Representative Detmer, for your thoughtful questions. I did not take them any other way than in the spirit that they were offered. I think we all know that if you have permanent, reliable housing, other pieces of your life fall into place. It's an incredibly important component to overall success in life. And I just want to point out, this is a fantastic bill. The bills that are going to come after this are also really amazing bills. The favorite part of the one I'm carrying for me is that this opportunity is going to be offered to all service members, regardless of their discharge status,
We know that a variety of things can affect the mental health or have other reasons why a discharge may be less than honorable. And I love that we're not leaving any of our veterans out of this opportunity. And I want to add my thanks to all our servicemen and women, many of whom are on this committee. Thank you so much, and I hope to earn your support for this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Berg. Representative Berg renews her motion that House File 4337 be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill. Members, I'm going to turn the virtual gavel over to Vice Chair Zhang for the next two bills that I will be presenting. Vice Chair Zhang.
Well, thank you, Chair Eklund. Members, our next bill is from Chair Eklund, House File 4324. Chair Eklund, please move and introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the House File 4324 be recommended to be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill.
And Chair Eklund, would you like to introduce your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 4324 is a bill that's going to help declare an end to veterans' homelessness. Minnesota must achieve functional zero, have no experience, veterans experiencing chronic or long-term homelessness as recognized by the United States Interagency Council on Homelessness, USICH, another acronym, folks. Veterans experiencing chronic or long-term homelessness historically have significantly less income than their counterparts and experience extremely high barriers for securing stable housing, nearly twice the rate of veterans who do not experience chronic or long-term homelessness. Additionally, many veterans that face extremely high barriers to housing, such as multiple or recent felonies, required to register as a sex offender, or have recent evictions, may not be experiencing chronic or long-term homelessness when they come onto the homelessness veterans registry, but often age into chronic or long-term homelessness. This can be attributed to the lack of flexibility in tenant screening criteria, both in the private rental market and in units available through homeless response system, such as coordinated entry. Without additional low barrier, affordable housing options and associated support services, Minnesota will be unable to reach its goal of declaring an end to veterans homelessness by the end of calendar year 2022. This bill allocates $8.1 million in funding from FY23 through FY25 to create up to 100 affordable low barrier housing units, including accessory dwelling units, multifamily residential units, and single-room occupancy developments at the cost of $150,000 per unit. House File 4324 would also fund two full-time equivalent positions to manage the programs and provide service to its recipients. Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs intends to have the program administered by a grant to the nonprofit Minnesota Assistant Council for Veterans, MACV, with the capacity to offer these services throughout Minnesota. MACV will use their subject matter expertise to develop and administer this program, including the process of creating permanent supportive housing units, partnering with stakeholders, selecting vendors, and may elect to administer the property management or choose to select a vendor to administer as a property manager. This is also available to all veterans and former service members, regardless of their discharge. And Mr. Chair and members, I have one more thing that I got to add here. I just got to pull it up on my phone. There is a drafting error on line 1.9 for the total appropriations for veterans programs and services. For the FY23 appropriation change, the total should be $30,953,000 instead of $30,593,000. The 9 and the 5 were transposed. Since this bill is being laid over for possible inclusion, nonpartisan staff will make the correction in the supplemental omnibus bill as necessary. And thank you, Mr. Colquist, for finding that error. I believe that was on Saturday when I saw that email that you found the error. So you're getting overtime on the weekend, Mr. Colquist. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
All right, thank you, Chair. The first testifier, please state your name and you may proceed.
Would Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if there's testifiers or not. I don't think there were. We have agency. Oh, Mr. Engstrom raised his hand, but we have agency staff if there's any member questions.
Right, Mr. Engstrom, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
I'm Tim Engstrom with the Minnesota American Legion. I just wanted to quickly, I know you guys are really busy, but let you know, and as you already know, the Minnesota American Legion supports efforts to house our veterans as well as suicide prevention efforts. So, and we very much trust this committee to figure out the best ways to get a lot of that done. So we appreciate the vibrant debate that is had during this committee too. So just because I'm with the Minnesota Legionnaire, don't worry about me writing everything you say down, okay? Sometimes I'm here as in my legislative side rather than my journalist side. Best.
Thank you, Mr. Eggstrom. And any questions or comments from members? All right, seeing none. Representative McDonald, sorry, I didn't see you.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's fine, Mr. Chair. I just pushed the button. Question for Chairman Eklund, your bill. Thank you, by the way, of course, for presenting your bill and the others as well to have a kind of a net zero of homelessness, if you will. I'm just curious if we ever have the numbers of all those nonprofit groups and Legion groups that donate to help the veterans, the homeless veterans, you know, the churches, the nonprofit groups. I've only been in the office for 11 years now, and I know there's some of these nonprofits that are really very helpful for the homeless generally over all of Minnesota, but additionally the homelessness in with the veterans, you know, with gambling funds that are at your local VFWs and Legion halls. Oftentimes those some of that money goes to address that. So do you, Chair, know, or any specialist, anyone testifiers to know kind of how much money you know, maybe in a 2-year span that is donated to help end this cause of veterans homelessness?
Looks like Commissioner Herkey.
Thank you,
Chair Chong and Representative McDonald. I don't have a specific answer for you on how many are nonprofits and what the amount of money. A lot of that's provided, I know, for a lot of them focus on temporary housing for our veterans, which is very important also, you know, for the time period while we're trying to find that permanent solution. But I don't know that anyone would have a specific number with that. I can tell you, I think I've mentioned before, we work with 55 other stakeholders as it relates to nonprofits, local governments, and other units of government in order to try to solve this problem. And it's very methodical, and I can tell you that it's very organized. And they're working hard every day and bringing whatever assets that they have to bear to help us with this problem, whether it's temporary housing, seeking landlords for the permanent housing, or anything along the way, to include food and those type of issues that are most common with homeless veterans.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative McDonald? Mr. Eggstrom, did you have something to add?
Yes, please. Thank you, Representative Zhang. I just wanted to add that the posts often are donating at a post level, and so that those figures aren't aggregated up to a district or state levels. And so I know with my post in Bloomington, we may donate at various causes at the local level, like we donate to MACV and things like that. For supporting a shelter that's in Bloomington. It's a shelter for a family of four. So it all depends on, there's not an aggregate of totaling all that stuff on a statewide level because the posts operate on a local basis. So.
Thank you, Mr. Eggstrom. Representative McDonald.
No, that's all. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and the testifiers for your answer.
Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was looking at the governor's supplemental budget recommendations, calls for appropriation to be used for building 50 accessory dwelling units throughout Minnesota. The language I see is not included in the bill. And just a simple question, why, Mr. Chair?
Sorry.
I see.
Looks like Commissioner Herkey might have an answer for that.
Chair Zhang and Representative Detmer, sharp eye. Representative Detmer, we felt that in the final drafting of the bill that if we kept it more generic, that would allow us to look at accessory dwelling units as one option. MACV is doing that. I think they have two successfully right now, and they've got, if I remember right, an additional 13 or 18 scheduled for this next year. That's where you're putting a small permanent house on the back of where a primary dwelling is. And I think there's a call for that, and I think there's certain veterans that works well for based on each veteran situation. But what we were envisioning is more being able to look for potentially conversions of hotels, looking at other safe havens. During my previous testimony, I talked about California has done conversions of hotels for veterans, and it's been successful. I actually talked to California just a week and a half or 2 weeks ago about some of their lessons learned. They actually converted a firehouse into veterans housing. That has been working out well. I think they were got six units into a fire station that was available and made available to them from the city that they converted it. So we're looking at all options to include those accessory dwelling units, and we would just like to have the most freedom to be able to find what would be available in the areas that our veterans are looking for. And we do know exactly where the veterans would like to have the housing. So we're trying to take that into consideration, too, as we determine what housing we actually end up working with during in the long run. But thank you for that question.
Representative Detmer, follow-up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Commissioner Herkey. You did answer another question. Then I have one more question. The bill also authorized funds for transportation. And this has always been an issue around the state with for our veterans. And how broadly can transportation funding be used for medical appointments and to and from work, errands, and so forth? Maybe Chair Eklund has an answer, or maybe Commissioner.
Chair Eklund?
I don't have the answer on that one, Representative Detmer, but I do know from my county days as county commissioner that there's always a transportation issue, and the county budgets sometimes take a big strain on that, on especially small county budgets, because we all do our best to take care of our veterans and their needs, but sometimes the transportation issue is a big issue. So Commissioner Herkey, do you have any other comments on that?
Commissioner?
Chair Zhang, Chair Eklund. Thank you for that question. I think that's a part of the outreach, additional outreach, and being able to provide transportation a lot of times in order to overcome these barriers, or to, in some cases, to find the veterans and get them to the appointments and so forth they need. There's a perceived need for additional help and assistance in the transportation area. So I think that was the intent as it relates to that additional funding that was included for that particular area. Thank you.
Representative Detmer?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know the DAV has done a lot in the state of Minnesota regarding getting vehicles to transport and drivers to transport our veterans for their medical appointments and so forth. So I don't know if any of these funds will find their way that way for the DAV. I'm not sure. Is that a possibility? I don't know. I guess that's another question.
Chair Eklund?
Mr. Chair, Representative Detmer, these bills are always a work in progress. Let's talk. That's why they're being laid over.
Okay.
All right. Representative Detmer?
That's up for me.
All right. Representative Poston?
Thank you, Chair. My question is for Chair Eklund. Chair Eklund, like you, I appreciate, respect, and love our veterans, so I'm going to make that statement before I ask my question. But typically in our policy year, in our supplemental budget year, we budget emergency items.
Less than a year ago, we passed the largest budget in state history. And now here we are asking for a lot of additional funds. It seems more like a budget year than it does a policy year. And although, you know, I don't disagree that these things are needed, but they don't seem of an emergency nature and doesn't seem like something that we should necessarily be doing less than a year after the biggest budget in state history. I suspect we're doing this maybe because we have this big surplus out there, but it seems like we're not doing the normal business that we do during a policy year. So I'd just like your thoughts on that.
Chair Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Poston. I agree with you. Normally this is a policy year and maybe we do a bonding bill, maybe a supplemental tax bill, but we are in an emergency. We have 259 homeless veterans in the state of Minnesota, and probably double that if you listen to what the first commissioner had in his testimony. So I view that as an emergency, and I think it's uncalled for that we have that many homeless veterans in the state. So that's why I'm asking for this more funding. And you know what, Representative Poston? If we didn't have $9.2 billion to spend, we probably wouldn't be seeing these kind of supplemental budget bills coming forward.
Thank you, Chair Eklund. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right. Representative McDowell, did you have another question? Sorry, I think you're muted, or I couldn't hear your last sentence. Okay, thank you. All right. Moving on, Chair Eklund, any final comments for the committee?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the questions, everybody, and I think most people know that I'm brutally honest to the point of being short with people sometimes, and if I'm short with you, I apologize for that, but that's, I believe in getting right to the point. Representative McDonald, I appreciate your point about the VFWs and Legions and many other nonprofits throughout the state. I, too, would like to see the number because I know what my VFW and Legions back home for various community issues, and they're to be commended. Ultimately, this bill is to end homelessness, Mr. Chair and members, and that's the function of this committee. So I appreciate your support as we go forward.
All right. Chair Eklund renews his motion that House File 4324 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future omnibus bill. And members, our final bill is House File 4358 from Chair Eklund. Chair Eklund, please move and introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the House File 4358 be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill. Mr. Chair, members, House File 4358 will provide continued support for temporary housing options for veterans, increase outreach capacity throughout Minnesota, and will also provide additional staffing for outreach efforts. Throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, communities shifted to provide the most vulnerable members of their community emergency shelter in non-congregate hotel setting. The shift provided veterans access to a dignified private space that allowed them to focus on their housing barriers and goals. In these settings, engaged, increased, and veterans were able to access housing more quickly. 468 veterans utilized hotels during the pandemic. And 350, that's about 75%, moved from the hotel to permanent housing. However, many of the hotel shelter programs have been discontinued or severely limited. Funding in this proposal will maintain the utilization of hotels and other temporary housing options as an alternative to congregate emergency shelter for homeless veterans. The current veteran outreach capacity in the Twin Cities metro area is not sufficient to meet the needs of veterans experiencing homelessness. House File 4358 will increase outreach capacity by 4 additional contracted FTEs through the competitive RFP process. Each of these FTEs will be a subject matter expert on specific benefits available in Minnesota. These subjects include Department of Human Services benefits and eligibility, shallow subsidy programming, local public housing authority programs, and trauma-informed outreach and engagement. This increased capacity will allow for more personal and informed engagement with veterans, whether they're in hotels, emergency shelters, or unsheltered. These housing options and support services are also available to all veterans and former service members, regardless of their discharge. And that is the bill in a nutshell, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Eklund. And are any additional testifiers for this particular bill?
Mr. Chair, I don't believe I had any sign up, but again, we have agency staff here if needed for member questions.
All right. Any questions or comments from members? Representative McDonald?
Thank you. A question for Commissioner Herkey?
Yes.
Okay, just Commissioner, how many new FTEs in culmination with all these bills? Any count of that at this point?
Commissioner Herkey?
Yeah, and Chair Zhang, Representative McDonald, there would be four additional ones with this initiative, and those are going to be FTEs that will not be state government FTEs, so they're course easier to adjust that as needed and as we go in the future. With the other one was the tenancy supports that we talked about earlier. There would be five additional FTEs, so a total of 9 additional FTEs that would be contracted through a third-party nonprofit as it relates to these efforts. And I guess while I have the floor, if I could just to provide you some updates today, we have 35 veterans that are using this program today. We're down to now just the federal VA and I think Hennepin County still having a hotel program in place. There was several counties that had been previously. The 35 veterans that are currently using it today are spread throughout Minnesota. I can tell you, I believe they're in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the 10 continuums of care. So this is not just a Twin City.
Oh, seems like we might have lost Commissioner Herkey there. Sorry, Commissioner Herkey, we lost your last couple of sentences there. Commissioner Herkey, could you hear me? All right, I think he's still logging back in. I can see his connection loading. Oh, Commissioner Herkey, can you repeat your last couple of sentences there?
Thank you, Chair Zhang. I apologize. I do not have high-speed internet. I'm in one of the 222,000 individuals in Minnesota that do not. But I can tell you that we currently have 35 veterans that are.
All right. Okay. Seems like we might have lost them again. Representative McDonald, did you have another follow-up question as he's trying to log back in?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I did, but I was just Chair Eklund would know with the bills are going. Zero homelessness. So in those 9 full-time employees, of course, that's a very costly endeavor, you know, throughout the year. But once we accomplish our goals, that there would be a need not to have these additional 9 attached to this bill. Additionally, as Representative Eklund said, these bills are going to be laid over, kind of massaged and reworked on if necessary. So that number could change to be more or less as well. Would that be a fair statement, Mr. Chair?
Chair Eklund?
Thank you, Representative McDonald. I think Commissioner Herkey was pretty clear that these FTEs are going to be through nonprofits. They're going to be contracted FTEs. They're not going to be MDVA employees, but they will be administering the program, and then they could be adjusted as we get to the functional zero target that we're looking for.
Representative McDonald?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. No, thank you, Mr. Chair Eklund. That's what I just wanted to verify and just to be my knowledge. So thank you.
All right. Any other member questions or comments? All right. Chair Eklund, any final comments for the committee?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and as always, I really enjoy having these conversations. We need to talk about getting to functional zero on veterans homelessness, as well as we need to get to addressing the veteran suicide issue that I'm so passionate about. I appreciate everybody's thoughtful dialogue here and comments that Representative Ettmer has made. We will take a look at putting reporting requirements in where necessary on these bills, because Representative Ettmer, we do, no matter who's in charge of this committee the next go-round, we owe it to them to have the reports come back so we know that the programs we fund are functioning properly. So with that, Mr. Chair, I appreciate the support, and this is a good bill.
All right, Chair Eklund renews his motion that House File 4358 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future omnibus bill. And with that, Chair Eklund, did you have a comment to make?
Just one comment, Mr. Chair, before you close out the meeting. Tomorrow we have a pretty heavy agenda, members. We tried to load it that way so we wouldn't have to do a meeting hearing on Friday. So I just hope that everybody has their questions ready with concise questions and concise answers. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. And with that, our next meeting will be Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. We will be reviewing further budget proposals from the Department of Veterans Affairs and the Department of Military Affairs. And with that, we are adjourned, members.